This episode is brought to you in part by Swim. Here's the thing about wishlist apps. Most of them just sit there. A customer saves a product, and then nothing happens. Swim actually activates that data. When someone wishlists a product, you could trigger price drop or back in stock alerts and feed that intent directly into Klaviyo or your CRM. You're not guessing what people want because they've told you. Plus, customers can share wishlists for gifts, and your team can view them to offer personalized service online or in-store. And unlike cart abandonment, wishlist data is permission-based. These are people raising their hand saying, hey, I want this, just not right now. Swim's been around for over a decade. It powers 45,000 stores and installs in about 5 minutes. You could try it for free today at getswim.com/Kurt. That's getswym.com/Kurt. Today on the Unofficial Shopify Podcast, I'm joined by a serial entrepreneur who has the rare distinction of, well, he had a $330 million exit. And we're joined by Christian Erthel, who sold HelloBody, a German Shopify store, and then also is running now Meller Sunglasses, mellerbrand.com. That store sells a pair of sunglasses roughly every 28 seconds. So really, very successful European entrepreneur, rare for the show. You know, we're very North American focused. So, but happy to unpack this and hear, you know, what that level of success looks like. How did you get there? So we're joined now by Christian Erthel. Christian, how are you doing?
I'm doing very, very good. Thank you. And all of you, you'll hear a lot of German accent in the show. Very happy to bring a bit of German spirit to this North American podcast. And I'm currently here in Spain and doing very good. I moved to Spain 11 years ago because, as I can recommend you all, Spain has great life quality.
All right, you're a serial entrepreneur. The business you sold is HelloBody. Give me that story quickly. HelloBody.eu.
Yeah, exactly. So we made exactly. I was like, when I moved 11 years ago to Spain, I first looked for a job and then realized, okay, it actually is much cooler to start a company. So then every month I did a new company. And some of them failed, some of them worked out. Meller, one of them, it got sold just a few months ago. And also HelloBody got sold three years ago to Henkel as a €1 billion company. And this one, I was consulting them for 2 years. So I was the outside CMO. Like they were like, we have hyper growth. They contacted me when they were at 30 million. They're like, we're at hypergrowth, but we have an agency and we cannot do it for an agency. We need in-house. We want you to be on it 20 hours per week. So I was going between Berlin and Barcelona, flying every 2 weeks back and forth. But it was very, very worth it. And when we could go from 30 million to 107 million. And then we got a €330 million exit on it.
€330 million. It's a huge sum of money.
I would always think that if it's not so much for the US, you know, I think it's like for German exit, this is a high one, but I think like in America, you have even crazier Shopify stories. So, but yeah, for us, it was a big thing. Yeah. So we are happy.
Nothing to sneeze at for sure. I would be happy with it. So what do you, and then tell me about Meller sunglasses.
Yes. So this one, we are really like, kept on testing things, and at one point we saw that sunglasses is a very hot market. It actually developed because the neighbor of a friend of mine, he started to do sports sunglasses and online 11 years ago, and it was going really, really well. And so we asked him of like, hey, would you mind if we do fashion sunglasses? And he was like, no, I don't mind, I'm doing sports sunglasses, this is my niche, you can do fashion sunglasses. And then yeah, started selling 12 and so on, and when it went bigger, we had this big problem every winter, right? Because every winter was like, okay, it's so hard. We were only in Europe and it's so hard to sell. In February, we were always like, oh, we have to close the company. We were like so close, like two or three times we were like, okay, that's it. Goodbye company. And it was a lot of stress and panic everywhere because winter was just very hard. At one point we decided to do watches. So we also had like Meller watches on top of that. but our investors were against it. And they ultimately proved to be right. It was a good move for 3 or 4 years to have both, because we could survive for winters more easier, because we would sell more watches in winter. But ultimately, now we, if you go to mellowbrand.com, you'll see it's only sunglasses. So we went back to our roots of being very, very good at one single thing. And you will see, like, there's way over 400 pairs for a very, very fair price of $49. And if everyone wants, you see my name here, Chris Erfel. You just put it in at Mellow discount and you will get the highest discount ever. So you'll be very, very happy with your price, man. And you will see, like, great. Our idea was always to beat Ray-Ban in quality, but to be at a fair price. So, like, it was clearly beating Ray-Ban, beating Luxottica, the company behind it, in quality. That was our ambition since always, but having a way, way fairer price. And I'm pretty certain we made it. Everyone who is wearing it, and I get every day on my WhatsApp, I get pictures sent from friends of, like, I'm here in Brazil and I'm seeing Mellow sunglasses. Oh, I'm here in Indonesia. Like, all around the world, you will see Mellow sunglasses now. And the customers are really happy. Like, actually, check out Trustpilot. That's what we are really proud of. And Trustpilot, we are super highly ranked with, I think, 40, 50,000 reviews plus, and people really loving us.
So you're certainly not the first sunglass brand we've had on here. And yeah, the others were very successful too. Talk to me about why you like sunglasses, because everyone struggles with the seasonality of it, but then, like, the unit economics of it must be amazing versus to put up with the seasonality of it.
What I've been seeing the market in many, many years now, and I was seeing this different timings for different products. Like, now it's impossible to start a sunglass brand because there are so many big established players in it. And before Facebook ads or Meta ads, it was impossible to do it. And there was just this very short gap of timing where it worked to start a sunglass brand. And everyone who did it then, or a lot of them who then executed well, could get so successful. Because most people don't know this, but sunglasses, there's a more monopoly on it. Like, if you buy Oakley, Ray-Ban, all these brands, and you go to a, also called Sunglass Hut in the US, these stores. Yeah. You go into a sunglass hut and you feel like you have a lot of choice, but actually it's one brand, Luxottica, owning all of it. So, like,
it's all Luxottica.
Doesn't matter what you buy. And obviously it costs $8 to produce one of these pairs. But they give you this markup and make you think it's $250. I don't know how much you're paying in Chicago over there, but here it's around 190, 250 euros. So they just get this heavy markup because they have a monopoly on it. And you could not break it until Facebook ads came around. So that's why the sunglasses became one of the first big things. Later was jewelry. When skincare became the hot thing, like, that was like 6, 7 years ago. Currently, I see fashion. What I'm seeing right now is, like, fashion is the hottest thing. Like, when I'm helping brands right now, the ones who are skating crazy is fashion. Also, I'm helping Uniqlo in Japan. So they have probably a way higher budget than, like, the budget of Uniqlo, of Meta Ads, is higher.
Yeah, you have Uniqlo as a client?
And the budget of Uniqlo is higher than what Hello Body was sold for. What we said before. So just imagine the budget per year.
So, okay, this Mellor brand sunglasses, you're a German man in Spain with EU experience, but I'm on this Mellor brand website. I'm in the US and it appears I could buy. If I were to order on the site, can I get sunglasses in the US?
Yeah, you can get them fast. You'll get them in 24 hours or less. We have a couple of warehouses in the US. Like, we are really, for us, it's very important to be very, very quick in every market. I think we have 2 or 3 warehouses in the US. We have one in Mexico. Mexico is also a great, great market. We are all around the world and we try to always deliver. People get shocked, like, 24 hours or less. Yeah.
So Mellor brand, when you started this, there's no way it was global. Was it available in the US at the start?
Only in Spain.
How long ago did this get started?
11 years ago.
And then when did you launch in the US?
I think it was like 6 years ago where we launched and failed. So we launched and failed and retreated. And then we launched again because we're like such a big market and everywhere else was working. We're like, we're getting all the markets working. And then we relaunched 2 years later again. And then we got it running.
All right. You said the first time it didn't work. Where did it go wrong the first time?
So we just we were like surprised with a higher CPM. We didn't expect that CPMs are that much higher. So that made it everything a bit harder. And also we...
Wait, it's cheaper to run ads in the EU than here?
Much cheaper. Much, much cheaper. It's pretty much, you know, everywhere in the world is cheaper than in the US, especially like Florida, California. Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's a good market, but I would say there's even better ones. There's like to make high profits, there's like, let's compare. Like, let's see what other people see. But like, if we are a lot, I have to do it, it's in euros, but like it would be in dollars, I think it would be 8. Like in Germany, to everyone's listening, we are seeing very frequently, we're seeing a 6 to 8 US dollar CPM. So for every 1,000 people viewing your ad, you're paying just $6 to $8. But in the US, you would be way, way above it. Depends on the product then, but you'll be way above it.
One US dollar gets you 0.85 euro at the moment. So yeah, if you're going euro to US, how'd you make it work the second time around?
So we had to dial the ads up a bit, you know, like in, we're always seeing that what works in German is to have a bit more serious ads and, you know, like, not over high, like, you know, not going like, one good example is like for one product, we said like a life-changing product, best thing ever, you know, like, and you wouldn't say these things in Germany or in Europe so much, but in the US, these things work. So we didn't know it. We have to exaggerate in a way a little bit that like dial things a bit more up. We were not used to that style. So that was one of the biggest. And we also made ads, like our content now is way funnier. Like, because I believe a lot in making people laugh. You know, not everyone's going to buy your product. But a lot of people, then they scroll, they're a bit sad and they're like, you know, they're having a hard day. And then just to cheer them up, you know, you're just giving something back. So we love just making people laugh in the ads. And we just try to make very, very funny content. So that's, yeah, a lot about that.
So do you think humorous content, do you think that is somewhat universal in its appeal? Yeah, because I've seen some really funny ads come out of Europe.
It happens more and more. We should also talk about this, like, nowadays, don't believe everything you see in your feeds, because I would say now, for me, what I'm seeing is like when you actually look at it, like 40% is AI and just increasing. Yep. Like a lot of times friends send me this crazy cool golf shots and I'm like, yeah, but you know, but this is AI. Or like there was like a friend, my best friend sent me yesterday, a newsfeed story and it was like a very funny thing on CNN. And I'm like, yeah, it would be very funny, but you know, this is AI, you can tell. And he was like, oh shit, it's getting so close. And obviously we're getting to a point where we will no longer see. So we might actually go from the feed, we might go to a phase where just no one believes anything anymore what they see. People believe what they see in real. But it's like, nowadays, I'm just like, okay, could be real, could be fake. And we're living in very, very weird times where maybe the phone use will go down because it's just boring to see mostly like made up content, which is actually a good thing, you know? We should be more in the now. Like I love this watch, you know, like the power of now, like being connected and not being on the phone and seeing all the things.
Yeah, maybe that's the AI is finally the thing that can, you know, weirdly gets us to put down social media.
It will just get boring, you know. Everything will be fake, and you're like, okay, so what?
Yeah, at what point is like the entire timeline just programmatically generated specifically for you, and nothing is real?
Exactly. That's
a disturbing
you
universe.
You see like triple, four times backflips on snowboards, which looks very cool at first, but then you're like, okay, but it's not real. So yeah.
My oldest, he was like, he's making fun of us, my wife and I. He's like, oh yeah. He's like calling us boomers because we fell for an AI, you know, video or something or other. He's like, I never fall for AI. At which point I sent him a photo that I had generated of our Christmas decorations it was AI. Like I was just trying to plan some stuff out. I sent it to him. He's like, oh man, I walked right past this. How did I miss it? I said, cause it's AI and you didn't know. And it was like within, you know, a minute of him accusing us of being boomers for not recognizing AI. And he immediately fell for it. But like at this point, Props. It's good enough where, you know, it's especially just scrolling quickly through a feed, 100% you're going to get got by AI.
Exactly. And it's obviously, it's just getting better. It's just getting better. I was just, and you can do so, like, for the power it gives you can do so cool things. I was just helping, like, just before our call now, I had a two-hour call with this 100-year-old German company, and they're doing bed sheets. But, like, we had to, they are the inventors of the fitted bed sheets. So, basically, we are, like, trying to make this look cool. So, we just put it into Vivi, which is a tool which is very, like, an AI Swiss knife where you have everything in. And we use Google Veo Free and so, and made the bed sheet fly, and you can see it from all things. And so for this to showcase a product better, it's amazing. Because like, how long would it take until we actually have in the studio a batch sheets and filming it from all sides? And so it would be doable, but it would take super long. And like, it took me 10 minutes to make it. So in this, it's a cool thing.
This episode is brought to you in part by Zipify One-Click Upsell. Hey, you still guessing which products to upsell? Yeah, look, that's how upsells worked like 5 years ago, but that kind of guesswork, it's just losing you revenue. One-Click Upsell by Zipify uses AI to recommend the best upsells and cross-sells based on your actual sales data, live, in real time. Yeah, it's smart, automatic, and way more effective than the old school "I hope this works" method. So just install the app, launch your first upsell funnel with one click. No code, no testing, and no more generic offers. You can upsell across the entire customer journey, the whole funnel. Product pages, cart, checkout, post-purchase, thank you pages, even the shop app. And now they're tossing in a free cart drawer just for installing. Cart drawer is the best. Over 50,000 Shopify merchants trust one-click upsell, and it's already driven nearly $1 billion in extra revenue. So go to zipify.com/Kurt to start your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. Which AI tool did you say you were using?
Weavy.
Weavy? Okay.
Yeah, Weavy.
And that's like one of those ones where you could pick your...
Yeah, so it
has
it's
the
like,
different models.
Yeah, it's like you have like 100 different models in it. Because for me, I get lazy, you know, like maybe people can relate. I don't want to use 11 labs and then Topaz labs and then like VO3 and like, and every time taking one image, editing one thing, downloading it, putting it to the next tool, like because I have a lot of steps in the process now. So I want one tool where I have all of them that I can just connect to them. So it's like, imagine like a Figma board and I just have all of them in and we just connect the dots. And they also actually is another cool exit case story. They just sold to Figma after 11 months of running. So they took 7 months of programming it, 4 months on the market, and it went so crazy that they got sold for $200 million also. That was another.
That's crazy.
Three big exits today to talk about. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been using Adobe Firefly, which is similar where it's like, you know, you could pick the different models. It's already loaded in.
Exactly.
It's convenient because exactly. It's in my Adobe account. But Weavy sounds really good. And if Figma owns it, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my team uses Figma.
Yeah, perfect. So, yeah, exactly. Okay. It will be integrated then. So that's going to be good.
You know, you have experience growing these really successful international brands. You have experience getting them, you know, brands outside the US, getting them into the US. You also have experience, you know, vice versa, getting. You've helped launch 4 U.S. brands in Germany successfully, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. I want to know, I want the 30-day playbook. Like what are the things you're doing to successfully launch in Germany that, you know, me as an American who has been to Germany one time in my life, it just wouldn't understand?
Normally in all of these cases, I would first have like a call with a founder and... like let's have like one example. There's like a company, there's a real example. They're doing video courses, right? So they would have these video courses of doing a certain task, and I would like talk to the founder first to really understand what's behind it. You know, like what explain me everything in about the company so that I understand it really well, and then I would look at their US ads. And I would try to translate them into German ads, you know, of being like, okay, that's how they market in there. And then I'm thinking like, because obviously my whole life I'm a German, you know, like it's very easy for me to see, okay, how does this fit to my culture? And normally we would tone it down. Like we would look into it and like, how can we market it more? Like, okay, what's the practical point of it? Like, how can you like saving, in this case, we market a lot of like saving time. You know, you could learn the skill watching a lot of YouTube videos, but like this, you're saving time and you have it very precise in one course. It's high, like premium, is very high quality recorded, and you see it. And also then explaining to them very, very clearly of like, look, and you can even, like Germans love it if they can, what really worked in this case is like, you can cheat the system. Like the ad even invites you to be like, hey, the first year costs you this, and it was a very small amount. And then if you keep ongoing customer, it costs more. But if you're smart, and we even explained them, if you're smart, you take the tool, you pay the small first year subscription, and then you cancel. And the Germans love it. Like, they feel a lot of trust. But then a lot of them ended up liking the tool so much that they're like, oh no, they actually deserve it. Like, Germans are then, they are really, we love paying for things what we see is worth it. But then they are like, oh, we actually plan to cancel, but actually it brings us so much value and we can keep on using it so that they continue. So this is something that this, I think this ad wouldn't translate so well to the US, but in Germany it does. And in German also is like, we really check the comment section before we buy. Like, we would overthink. Like, I think Germany is a very, very rich country, and we also market Switzerland, which is the richest country in the world pretty much in terms of this. But they always question a bit more before buying something online. So it's a bit harder to get the first buy, but if you get their trust once, they'll buy a lot. So that's something that really works. We're also seeing like people in Mela in Germany, it's crazy the retention rate. Like, people buy again and again and again. It's like, it's not unheard of of someone in their lifetime history having 15 or 20 plus Mela sunglasses over the last years. Like, that's quite a, and then they give it as presents. So it's like, that's quite a thing. So once you have the trust, it really works, and the market is really, really rich.
Let's assume I'm using Shopify as my platform. In North America, Shopify is the default for e-commerce. What about Germany? Like, Tobias Luecke, Shopify CEO, is German-Canadian.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, it's crazy.
And I have the same accent.
Yeah, 100%. He speaks probably a bit better than me even. But exactly, he is. And he's actually very nice. I like his podcast. So in Germany, what happened is like another German quickly saw, oh, this is something that's growing. Tobias made it. So then he copied it. So there's Shopware, and they took a German market. So Mela is on Shopify because we are smart. But most German companies, like, I would say the split, I have to see. But what I'm seeing, like, I don't have official data, but what I'm seeing when I see a lot of brands, I would say 80-20. So 80% Shopware, which is just pretty much a one-to-one copy, and then Shopify. So they are really struggling in Germany. The other company built a lot of trust and market share. And there's another thing, you know, when we talk about in Germany, we need much more trust in the ads to sell. That's why, like, we check right away. We right away have the comment section filled with people who love the product, like real buyers. But I just asked my friends who are real buyers, like, hey, can you quickly comment something when a new ad is live? So then people would, before they buy, they would check this, and then they would check Trustpilot. And we always have Trustpilot in the ads. We do a lot of image ads with Trustpilot in it. And if you actually look at Mela Brand and the checkout page, you see before when you put your credit card in, you again see Trustpilot with a score of 4.4 on 38,000 reviews. And that's really, really helpful.
And then we're really focusing on Germany itself. Does some of these same purchasing patterns, I assume this would extend to Austria?
Yeah. For any US e-com owner who is listening to this, I can tell you, to entering Europe, there's two easy steps. Very, very two easy steps. The first step is you keep your ads in English, change the currency, change the dollar to the euro, and you make the ads like you would make it for Germany, but in English, okay? But you take it like this, and you go to Nordics. So Nordics, I call them, it's technically a bit wrong, but every time I make an ad campaign, I call them Nordics, would be Finland, Denmark, Sweden, Belgium, and the Netherlands. These are five small countries. For you, for us, we are medium-sized in Europe, but for you, we are small countries, but very, very rich, and all of them watch TV in English. So there's no problem at all to make the ads in English. So even I don't bother to translate them. Always in English.
Oh, wow.
So, like, yeah.
I mean, I knew English fluency was prevalent. Is it, you know, often it's part of high school education.
And in these countries, like Germans, we don't speak so good, but as you can hear, but these countries, they speak amazing English. So always, this is what, so everyone listening to me from the US, please go to Europe. It's a crazy market, crazy profit margins. Go to the Nordics first, step number one. Step number two is you go to the DACH region. So DACH region is what we call Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. And you target German. In this people who speak German in this area, which is like a crazy, like, I think must be Germany's 82 million plus 10 million plus 10, so around 100 million people. which you can target there, which are all richer than Americans. Sorry to say that, with less amount of debt. So, that's a thing. Oh, and also for this region, you want to have Klarna. Do you know Klarna? It's like, I think, a Swedish company.
You really buy now, pay later.
Yeah. You really want to have that for the younger generation. The older's not. So you need to know a couple of things about the European markets. Like, you want to have Klarna.
I wanted to ask about payment providers. You know, how do payment providers change?
Well, it's mostly people pay credit card or Klarna or PayPal. So I think it's nothing too new for you.
But the same as here.
But here comes a big thing. So you have, and I'm going to share a couple more market nuggets for all of you. Because now I helped 144 companies. So I've seen a lot. So the next thing is, afterwards, you would want to go to England, probably. It's an easy one. You have a language, so it's easy. Ireland, also easy. You have Euroswear. English, you have a pounds. And then France, you would want to have France, Monaco, Luxembourg in French. Okay, that's easy. But there you have to have in French. Then Poland, you need Polish ads. It can be English sometimes. And then another, it's not such a rich country, but people are so used to e-commerce. People buy everything online. So it's a crazy, like for Hello Buddy and so, it was a crazy market for Poland. Again, also it's quite easy. And like here you will see like 3-4 euros CPM, which I think for people who do ads, they blow their mind. Trust me, they give a blow their mind. And then you have Italy, which is also working okay. Not the best market, but it's working okay. And there's no competition because everyone enters where it doesn't work for anyone. Why? And with this trick, you will not get it to work. You need in Italy, you need to offer cash on delivery. If not, it doesn't work. People are super used. People are super used to buy. And then once they get the product in their hands, they give cash. So we didn't know this, but we learned pretty quick. It took us only a couple of weeks. We are not so stupid. We figured it out fast. But there's something in Italy. That's why there's also no competition, because most US brands don't know that. And they run ads, it doesn't work. And they're like, oh, shit. But once they see that they need COD, cash on delivery, they'll win there. So that's another good one. So this is the one-on-one to Europe by Chris.
No, that's all. Fabulous advice. I want to go back to your Hello Body story that we talked, we mentioned at the top of the show. Sold for $330 million. And in my notes, I know that's a 3x multiple because when you joined, they were doing only $30 million. And then at exit, $107 million, sold for $330 million. So 3x multiple. That's exceptional all around. How much of that was you? I mean, how do they go from 30 to 107?
Nah, this I have to be humble. Like, that was like already a great, great team. So like, I mean, getting from 0 to 30, that was a big, big step. So the team did such a good job, and the two founders were did and a crazy, crazy good job. I was just like, what happened is like, as founders, we always helped each other. So they were helping us at Mela, we were helping them. And then there was a lot of trust. And then they just came in and they were like, Chris, they're going to make you an offer you cannot refuse. We have big plans of Hello Buddy, and we have an agency running our ads and we want to sell. And if you sell and you have an agency, you always get a lower multiplier because, people want to buy the know-how. And they're like, we want you to come here. We have influencer marketing. It's also working well in the US, I guess, on many, many parts. We have this part. We're rocking it. We are really good at it. We have a lot of influencers who say our skin is really good because of these creams. And we have no microplastic, there's like no animal testing, like everything that Germans loved at the time. Like, Germans love the environment. It's another thing for US brands. You always want to market with the environment in Germany. Like, the Green Party is super strong here. Like, Germans love it. There's no animal testing and so no microplastic in it. Like, super important points. But my job was just to go there, hire the right people, and train the right people. So I was like, my job was to replace the agency. So I came in, I hired the right people. Also, like, I looked in the company who's already good. Like, for example, the assistant of the boss, she was amazing. And I was like, hey, can I have her 20 hours? And you have 20 hours? And he was like, yes. So she was also running ads and coming up with ads, and she knew the company well already. So she is amazing. So like, yeah, I just hired 8-9 good people, trained them, and then we took over, and then we quickly surpassed the numbers of the agency just by creative output. Now we looked how many ads are we doing right now, and how can we triple that? Like, how can we go from we're doing 15 new ads every week. We're like, okay, how can we go to 45 new ads every week? And then we went on top of that. So here, what I can share with all
the lot of ads.
Yeah, but you need that. But here, what I can share, my value nugget here for your audience, because I hope many of them are Shopify e-com owners. That would be perfect when I can help you the most. So here, what you want to do. For ads you make every week, it's a year of 100%. I would tell you to divide this 40%, you make video ads. They are harder to make, but you have longer content to show and you can convince people more. And then 60%, you have image ads because they have a higher conversion rate and they're easier to make. So 60, 40. And then these two blocks, you divide again into three categories, into completely new ads. And you fully sit down with a blank paper and come up with new, funny or cool ad ideas or like from different angles of like every angle the customer could think like, you come up with new ads. Then the second category is you make a competitor ads, inspiration. So you get inspired. You use like tools like Foreplay, which is, by the way, a cool Canadian or US guy, Zach, who made this. Use some tools, look at competitor ads or other people's ads that works. Like, for example, HelloBody, we looked at some ads of L'Oreal from Paris or from some Australian brand that we liked, right? And we're like, okay, how can we translate this? And how can we get inspired by what's working for them? So you don't fully copy, but you get inspirations and then make ads all of this. And then one third is ads that you do winning iterations, right? So you would make this and then depending on how many ads you make. So if you say you make 100 ads a month and you would make 60, 40, and then you do one third in each, and then you know exactly what to do every week. But that's really important to follow a certain structure and to make sure to get the content machine running, right? Like obviously, UGC is still working good in many, many parts, and you just check, you know, like what ads I want. And another thing I can really tell to all of you, because I really want to give a lot of value to your audience, is to not always, let's say now you're the founder of Gymshark and you're listening. Okay, don't always do the ads as Gymshark. You know, it's cool. People like the brand, it's good. But why people don't trust it too much if I say, okay, Gymshark says, okay, we make the best quality in pullovers. Of course, we're going to say that. But now if I use a passion page and it's called UK's best sports apparel, and then in this page, they recommend different pages and they just recommend Gymshark, is much cooler. That's one part, passion pages. The second part is now they would do a collaboration with Lionel Messi. They could do a whitelisting where it's just running through Messi's content, like through Messi's page, and it's getting published there. Like it's like in the ad, it's just Messi up there, like whichever people they chose, no? And that's working really, really good. And you can also, it doesn't matter. Like it can also be a non-famous person, but just going from a private profile and then there, whitelisting is great. And then there's partnership ads where you actually have like Messi with Gymshark and you have both together. That's what Facebook is pushing the most. But all of these work better than just putting Gymshark. Because Gymshark and it says sponsor, people know it's an ad and people get blind to ads. Like 11 years ago, it was easy, but now people get blind to ads. So you have to avoid that. So you try to be more smart and creative around it.
Ever had a customer cancel an order because they were shopping while high or because they broke up with their significant other? Those are real reasons customers could cancel. And they're a real headache for both you and your customers. Why should they have to email support to change, cancel, or update an order? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, your customers can edit their orders themselves through a self-service portal. That means fewer support tickets, faster shipping, and fewer returns. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their order support by 99% with Cleverific. Now it's your turn. Listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast get 50% off the Pro plan. Just $49 a month. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50 at checkout. It's less hassle, happier customers with Cleverific. The other thing I thought was interesting is you mentioned Trustpilot repeatedly. I don't feel strongly about Trustpilot either way. But clearly you do. Why do you love Trustpilot?
It's just, I love data. I love data. As a German, I love A-B testing. I made over 3,552 A-B tests. I currently checked it. And I love data. And the data clearly shows like we make tests. And if you put Trustpilot on a Shopify or not, the conversion rate is crazy different. Like we're talking 23% uptick. So like, it's clearly that Trustpilot, especially, and this is again, a little bit why maybe you don't like it as much as me, in Europe, trust is even more important. So we really, people really hate spending money and then it would not arrive. Like this risk, like, for example, I had a conversation. The biggest spender on Meta Ads is Temu right now. Okay, they are spending way over $1 billion. Like they are actually, when you look at it, I think it's like 2.5% of the total Facebook ad spending is Temu. It's one company. You know them, right? And the other day I had like
a serious whale client for them.
Yeah, it's too big. They are worried. Honestly, they are worried. They're telling me like they don't like it that one company is spending so much. But basically, here, a lot of times now, I'm currently in Spain, a lot of people ask me, like, when I told them, have you ever ordered on Temu? Like, I see the ads everywhere, but I'm like worried that I spent 10 euros and it wouldn't arrive. And it's not about that the worry, but it's 10 euros where I lose. But it's about the feeling of like, I paid and it didn't arrive. Like, this, like, there's something that's a stronger thing. In America, people would be like, okay, I tried it. It's more risk taking. We see also in the startups, people, here, failing is seen as worse. Like, I give example a lot of like one of my companies. For example, I recently made a new company at Universe, which I thought was a genius SaaS idea. Started it. We put $500,000 in with me and three co-founders, and we failed. And that's okay, you know. But in the US, you're like, okay, cool. You started something and you failed, and you realized, and you know, did other things. But we had this idea of like, the SaaS could be worth $300,000. We went for it. And after 11 months, we were like, close. It was growing and it was growing slow. And we don't want a slow growing company. But in Europe, it's like, oh my God, you failed something. And it's like the shame of failing is bigger, you know? So that's something that people have to understand, is like the getting them through, the amount of trust that you need in everything is higher.
Yeah, I mean, those are serious cultural differences that just would not be obvious, you know, from the outside looking in. You mentioned running 3,500 split tests.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love split testing. Is there any things where you went like, wow,
that
is really the opposite of what I thought would happen?
Yeah, I would say, let me give you an easy example. There was this ad for snowboard jackets. Like I'm telling you, fashion is going really good right now. This ad for snowboard jackets. And I know this brand, and I know what are the four bestsellers. But now above, there's a cool video, a guy doing double backflip, you know, and this, like, and then you see the jacket, like, super cool, you get it, getting the attention. Below, we upload one file, by the way. We upload one file, which is half video, half images, which is also a hack I like. But then you have these four images below. And now you can choose, do I show the four bestsellers, which were everyone buys, or do I show four very different colored jackets? Like one which is yellow, one which is red, you know, like. And I was like, look, I know people come and buy these, and these are by far, they always sold out, they are the bestsellers. So I was very sure that the bestsellers would be working best. But now we see clearly that people want the contrast. People want to see that, oh, they have yellow, oh, they have a bright green, they have this. Then they click on it and they still buy the normal beige. They buy the normal boring colors. But people, to click, you want to show how much variation you have, which also makes sense when you think about it. So also now for today in the call 2 hours ago, I told them with the bed sheets, let's start a market yellow bed sheets. You know, it's like something different and he like looks more happy. And so I'm like, people will still click and buy the white bed sheets, you know, but we're going to market different color variations. Now you have, let's say you have a company selling, what are you selling?
Backpack diaper bags.
So now you have two variations, right? You either you have this one product in black, let's say. Okay. So now the ad is showing the black product. Now, if you click, what most people do, they bring them to the black product, okay? To the product page. And then they're complaining of like, oh, our average order value is not very high. Conversion rate could be better and so on. Why? What happens? People come there and they assume, oh my God, this brand, maybe it just has this, you know, like it could be a small startup that has this and I don't like it. No, okay, I'm going to go back. Whereas you send the traffic to a collection page where you see like 400 different products. You seem like a super old, big brand, which is always important. And obviously you make it easy for the customer. So you make it that this product that they just saw is on the left top. So they can easily buy and find the one that they might be interested in. But also now, if they don't buy this, or they see, okay, we have this and this other product, and they can mix and match, and they can buy more. So always send it to a collection page. That was something is a bit counterintuitive because it's one more click, and all you always want to have it very fast and very good. But yeah, that's
All right. So the discovery you're making here is like, hey, send them to a good collection page, versus, you know, the default might be the homepage, or if we're doing, you know, these catalog ads, they're going to go to the product page. You're saying collection outperforms, counterintuitive because we're adding click debt. I got to browse the collection and then go to the product page.
Exactly.
But, you know, I'm giving them a different starting point. And maybe, you know, that's, I'm starting them with, hey, just browse. And you can see more of what is in the catalog with starting on a collection
and,
page.
And also, like, big shout out to Marco and Borja, because in Mella, these two current co-CEOs, and they're also the head of speed at Mella. So they're constantly finding tools like tools for Shopify and ways to make the page faster. So now when I just help...
Oh, like straight up just performance load time.
Exactly. And like, it's so like, I'm really proud of it now. Like when you actually, like, if anyone wants, go to MellaBrand.com and change colors, change products. I think now it could still be better, but it's like way faster than nearly all the other e-commerce that I see. And we really see that every speed change helped a lot in terms of revenue. So that's crazy.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's a really beautiful site. These product detail pages are really nice, but it has to load a ton of images. And you've gone through the effort of like, if I pick a different frame and lens, it's going to reload. And so there's just a lot to load and a lot of page loading just to browse.
Yeah.
And so I could see where on a site set up like that, reducing page load in between all of those clicks, really you could have an outsized impact on your bottom line.
It's so important. And another thing, another example that I want to quickly share is like how sometimes Meta doesn't care about your company and you have to be careful. Like we made something very cool. We took a lot of time to really make a crazy good Instagram filter. And then it took the time to put every sunglass ever to scan it and put it into a filter. So you could have this Instagram filter. The ads would go to the filter. Like Bosco had this idea. But the ads would go to a filter. And then you don't go to a website, but you try on all the sunglasses. And you find one that fits you very, very well. You try it on and you're like, oh, this is perfect for my shape. And you buy it very certain of like, this is the one. And then at one point, Instagram just decided to discontinue filters. So from one day to the other, with no announcing, like we are spending good money there, we are a good customer, nothing, just out. And yeah, you have to refine it. Like that's something that's, yeah, it's always big changes and things happening. But
yeah, well,
just part of it.
Play in someone else's sandbox.
Exactly.
Would be the...
Exactly.
The U.S. expression for that.
That's a good expression. I never heard it, but I like it. I'm going to start using it.
Oh, have you ever done this filter essentially that you're describing for Instagram was essentially a virtual try-on.
Exactly.
Where I could just like try on the sunglasses.
Exactly.
On my phone virtually. Have you ever done that on the Meller Shopify store?
No, we didn't. It's like, it's a thing of load times and you have to accept camera permissions. Like, is all of these things that you already, Instagram has it already integrated. So it was just, it has to be smooth. So we tried it, but it didn't work. So that's the right
okay.
Reply. But we loved it. It was so cool. Like it was really cool. And like, yeah, at parties, we always tried it out. Like, you know, but yeah, it's things. It happens.
Yeah. Before we go, any other favorite tools or resources?
You know, with Meta ads, you always get a lot of traffic to a page and you can help companies grow. But you don't. You might get like a 4 or 5 ROAS or ROI, but you don't wouldn't get higher because if you get higher, you just push more, right? But you need to have some tools or some channels where you have like 60 plus ROIs. So you have like crazy ROIs. And for us, this is here. I think Klaviyo. Klaviyo was like a US company, I think, if I'm not right. I have to check it. But we used first MailChimp, and went to Klaviyo for email marketing. But then what we did. We checked that there's a European company coming up, Omnisend, like Omnichannel, Omnisend, because it sends everything, notifications, SMS, and email. And then we changed to them, and our ROAS got up a lot. Now we are at the 68 ROI, thanks to them, because we have more channels, we have better funnels, we could integrate everything. And also, in terms of the cost-effectiveness, it's more cost-effective than Klaviyo, which helps a lot for getting... I tell every European econ company, also US ones, to like really have one tool which is just like a cash cow. Is having a good email marketing tool which really has a fair price, and then you can really do anything you want and market your audience well. It really helps. And then shout out to a friend of mine, Ezra Firestone, like Ezra and Nick Shackleford, were like my speaking buddies like 8 years ago when I gave my first speech. I was nervous, they were calming me down. And since then, we've been in so many conferences together. And I heard about his tool Stupify, we checked it out and we love it. Like for us, the landing page is there and the upsells is really good. So for us, this is like a tool that we love, because I saw it thanks to him. And actually, I have to give shout out. I think also Omnisend, I saw it thanks to him. He was also recommending me this. And the Weavy tool, I found it thanks to Rory Flynn, which if you don't know him yet, go follow him on LinkedIn. He has like 110,000 followers because he posts the coolest AI content, like Rory Flynn, another very, very cool public speaker on marketing.
Final thing, you mentioned a coupon code for Meller sunglasses. Remind me what it was.
Yeah, you just type in my name, Chris Erfel, and then everything together.
Beautiful. Okay. We'll include that in the show notes. Chris Erfel, Meller brand, thank you so much. This has been great.
It was really fun. I hope I could give a lot of value, and really, when you're rocking it in the US, like if you make more than 10 million revenue US, it's time to also step over to Europe. And the same, I'm telling all the German brands who make more than 10 million, it's time to step over to US, because it's just a bit more work for double the revenue. So it's like, it's such a good deal to market in both places, because, you know, you just need one marketer to make both ads. And it's so worth it. So I think, I hope there's more collaboration. And in general, I wish for more collaborations again with between European Union and the US. Like we used to be very, very good. And let's go back to that. We have very good, I still love all my US friends, so it's good. But like, you know, let's go back to collaborating really good together again.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Chris, thank you so much.
Cheers, all the best.
Hey, before you go, I was hoping you would check out our new app, Promo Party Pro. It is what I want to be the single best, easiest way to run a free gift with purchase promo on Shopify. We just put it live in the App Store. We've got less than 50 users. We want your feedback. So if you need to run a free gift with purchase promo in the near future, install it, try it. There's a live chat. I check that all the time. And so if you have any issues at all, you know, or any suggestions on how we can make it even easier to use, let us know. We're happy to help. If you want to try it, search Promo Party in the App Store. Promo Party Pro is the app. Give it a shot. It's got a free trial. Thanks.